Hi. If you don't know me, my name is Andy. Married to Tracy. We have a son called Ethan. Actually, believe it or not, you know, Tracy and I have been married for, 11 years now? We just celebrated our wedding anniversary just 2 weeks ago. True story. Yes, I'm that old. Anyway, that's enough about me. So let's pray and ask God to help us understand His Word. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you for gathering us here tonight. Father, we thank you for your Word and through your Word that you speak to us. Father, we do pray, Lord, that as we read what you have to say, that your Spirit will do a work in our hearts. Please do help us to understand and apply these truths in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As some of you may know, I work part-time for Credo as a staff worker. And when I'm not at Credo, I also have another job that I do, a computer job that I do 2 days a week. I don't know if you know this. I am a professional geek. Anyway, earlier this year, back in February, I had an experience at my other job that made me really worried. Okay, it made me really worried. One Friday afternoon, one of my work colleagues left work for lunch, and he didn't return that afternoon. And neither did he pick up his phone when we tried to call him. And we did try to call him again and again and again, many times. And he, you know, he normally drives to work, but we also noticed that his car keys were left at his desk, which means that he didn't go home. So where could he be? Well, so as you can see, we were all quite worried about him for the rest of that Friday afternoon and also for that weekend. But thankfully, on Monday morning, we received an email saying that our missing colleague was okay. Apparently, he was having lunch at a restaurant and for some reason he passed out and hit his head and then was sent to the hospital. And thank God he was okay. But that was a scary experience for me. Probably not the scariest, but one of the scariest experiences. Perhaps, you know, you may have had a similar experience before. Perhaps you have tried calling somebody on their phone and again and again and again, but that person would not answer and made you very anxious as well. A few years ago, a guy from my church got lost in the Blue Mountains along with some of his friends. Now, they tried calling the emergency hotline, 000, many times. That's the emergency number in Australia, if you didn't know already. So they tried calling 000 many times, but there was no mobile reception. And the mobile phones were gradually losing power as well. And it was also getting dark. But thankfully, praise God, eventually they did get through to emergency, and they were rescued the very next morning. Well, in today's Bible passage in Psalm 77, we read about a man who's going through a difficult trial in his life. Now, we don't know what that trial is or was, but what we do know is he is experiencing a lot of pain from it. It was very, very hard for him. But what makes this experience even worse is that in his own mind, God seems to be very distant. God seems to be very far away. Yes, he cries out to God, but it seems like God doesn't really care. A bit like calling 000 for help, but getting no response. Or maybe calling 000 and the operator hangs up. Now, that was a feeling. That was a feeling that this man in the psalm was experiencing. And this may be our experience as well. Sometimes when bad things happen in our lives, we may also think that God doesn't care. When we get really sick, or when we break up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or perhaps when our family is experiencing financial hardship, we may question God, won't we? Does God still love me? But if He really loves me, then why am I suffering like this? Now, this evening, as we read Psalm 77, let's take a look at how the psalmist, the person who wrote the psalm, let's take a look at how the psalmist resolves his own doubts about God as he goes through personal trial and suffering. Now, let's begin by opening up our zines to Psalm 77. on page 4, right, thanks for that, page 4, and I'll be reading the first three verses, okay, verse 1 to 3. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. Now here in verses 1 and 2, we see that the psalmist is going through a period of great distress. In fact, he was so distressed that verse 2 says he stretched out his untiring hands in prayer. That means he's praying to God again and again and again. He's calling God's emergency hotline. Now, I don't know if you ever had that experience before. Something bothers you so much that you pray to God again and again and again. Okay, so now that this guy has prayed, does he feel any better? Well, it says in verse 2 that his soul refused to be comforted. The answer is no, he's not comforted. In verse 3, he says, I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. Now, Christians often have a favorite verse in the Bible, like John 3:16. But I'm pretty sure that this verse is not one of them. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. Groaning is like, ugh. All right, I remembered God and, ugh. Isn't very inspiring, is it? Now, for some people, especially men, I think, for some people, when they go through a difficult period in their life, they try not to think about it. You know, they try to block it out, ignore it. Now, some people play video games all day in order to escape from reality. And I know a guy who actually did that for many years after a breakup with a girlfriend, and it wasn't great. In extreme cases, some people rely on alcohol or drugs in order to numb their pain, to make them feel better, to make them not think about their pain. Now here in Psalm 77, the psalmist also wants to not think about his pain. He simply wants to sleep and not think about it. However, as we see in verse 4, he's unable to sleep. Verse 4 says, "You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak." Now notice that he says that God is the one has kept him from sleeping. Not only is God not helping him in his suffering, but God seems to be even making things even worse, not giving him sleep. Now, I personally hate that feeling of not being able to sleep. I don't know if you experience the same thing, but when I have trouble sleeping, my mind actually starts thinking about a lot of things. And when that happens, it makes me it makes it even harder for me to sleep. Now, this seems to be the problem that the psalmist is experiencing as well. He's lying awake in bed, and he begins to think about a lot of things. Now, let's read from verse 5. Verse 5 says, "I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, 'Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?'" Now, I have a friend, let's call him Chris, okay? It's not his real name. My friend Chris, a brother in Christ, he's suffering from a severe form of anxiety. Now, for some people, mild anxiety is something that we all experience on a regular basis. You know, you can be anxious about uni or work or family, and it's all still considered to be normal. However, there are also other people, like my friend Chris, who experiences a more severe form of anxiety. It is a type of anxiety that requires help from a doctor. Now, dear friends, if you're personally experiencing that type of anxiety, let me encourage you to seek medical help. Or if you have a friend who's experiencing this type of anxiety, you should get them to see a doctor. Because just like how our bodies can get sick, our minds can get sick too. According to research, about 1 in 4 university students actually have problems with mental health. So if that's you, you know, you should really go and see the doctor. Now, anyway, for my friend, his anxiety causes him to have trouble sleeping. When he couldn't sleep, that actually makes him even more anxious, and it kind of becomes a vicious cycle. And his suffering also makes him raise a lot of spiritual questions as well. Does God still love me? Is this illness, this mental illness, this anxiety, God's way of punishing me for my sin? So as you can see, my friend's suffering led him to have doubts about God's goodness. And me being his friend, I would sometimes have to talk to him on the phone and to give him encouragement and comfort to for him to feel better. Now, in a similar way, in verses 7 to 9, the psalmist also raises a lot of spiritual questions in the midst of his suffering. Now, just have a count of a number of questions that he asked from verse 7, okay? Actually, I have it up here on the screen. Yep, there you go. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished? And so on. Now, I want you guys to notice that in these spiritual questions that he asks, the psalmist actually recognizes God's character. He recognizes that God is God who shows favor to his people. God is a God who has unfailing love. God is a God who makes and keeps his promises, and who is merciful, and who has compassion. But the only problem is, as you can see, his suffering made him question God's character. It made him wonder if the God who accepts is now the God who rejects. And whether the God who shows favor will never show favor to his people again. And whether his unfailing love has vanished. His promises failed. His mercies forgotten. And his compassions withheld. So in other words, his suffering, whatever it was, made him think that maybe God has changed. Maybe God has changed. God is no longer the same God he came to believe in. But of course, the good news is, the good news is that this is not true. Okay, this is not true. As we keep reading on in this psalm, we can see that the psalmist grows in confidence and trust in God. But before we get there, can I just say that I've been a Christian for like almost 20 years now. And during these 20 years, I've grown to love reading the Bible more and more. And one of the reasons why I enjoy reading God's Word is because it is very honest. It is very real. The Bible shows us real people having real emotions. Now, in the Bible, when people are upset about God, they don't pretend that everything is okay. They voice it out. They voice it out to God, just like what we've just read. Now, let me give you another example. Now, in Psalm 22, this is King David writing this, the great King David. He writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. So as you can see, the Bible gives us permission to be very honest with God. It gives us a permission to be very honest with God. And that is because God wants us to have a real relationship with him. God wants us to have a real relationship with him. God wants us to be real with him. In fact, he hates it when we pretend that we love him, but our hearts are far away. Instead, God wants us to pour out our emotions before him. When we're angry, when we're sad, when we're afraid, God invites us to pour it all out before him. Now, back to Psalm 77, we see that the psalmist prays to God with untiring hands. He prays and he prays and he prays. However, praying to God hasn't given him any comfort. And maybe it is because God hasn't provided him a way out of his situation. Perhaps he's like my friend Chris. My friend prays and prays and prays that God will get rid of his anxiety disorder. But God hasn't granted his request. And that makes him really frustrated. So, what is the solution then? What is the solution? Well, beginning in verse 10, we see a little turning point in the psalm. Okay, let's have a look verses 10 to 12. Verse 10 says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." Now, this is the turning point in the psalm. Can you see what's happening here? Okay, can you see? Now, the turning point is when the psalmist starts remembering all the amazing things that God has done in the past. In other words, stretching out his hand didn't give him comfort, but remembering God's right hand gave him comfort. Now, let me give you an illustration to explain what I mean, okay? I want you guys to imagine if one day my son, Ethan, got really sick, and the doctor, you know, comes up to me and says, okay, if you really want to save his life, he'll need to have a new kidney. And then he turns to me and says, okay, do you want to give your kidney to your son? And what do you think I would say? I would say, yes, of course, absolutely, 100%. Take anything you need if it means saving his life. I love my son that much. Now, if this operation really did happen, this would be a significant moment in his life. It would be a moment in history that he can continually look back again and again as he's growing up. Therefore, if my son ever has doubts about my love for him, he can always look back at history. And that operation says yes. And he will say, yes, my dad loves me. My dad loves me because he saved me. Now, in a similar way, verse 13 until the end of Psalm 77, the psalmist looks back in Israel's history and says, yes, my God loves me. My God loves me because he saved us. Verse 15 writes, "With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph." And then from verse 16, we see a number of miracles that God performed with his mighty arm. God flexed his muscles and controlled the waters, the clouds, the thunder, and the lightning. And at the Red Sea, he rescued Israel from the power of Egypt. And because of this moment in history, every Israelite who is going through suffering can say with confidence, God still loves and cares for me. And if you want proof, just look at the Red Sea. Now, for us as Christians of the New Testament, we also have a story of salvation, don't we? Just like the Israelites. But our story is far, far greater. God became a man, and he died for us. And so as Christians, when we go through suffering, we can also say with confidence, my God still cares and loves me. If you want proof, just look at the cross. Now, I want you guys to do a really quick exercise for me. I want you guys to spend about 1 minute, and on your zines, I want you guys to underline all the words, all the I words, which are such as I or me or my. And when you see after that, okay, also want you to find all the you words as well. And you want to circle all the you words, such as you or your. Okay, just really quickly, give you a minute. And all the I words. Lots of I's in there. I, or me, or my. Maybe another 10 seconds. Should be a lot of them. Okay, so. Alright, okay. So you should have something like this, alright? So all the I words, you can see, it's in the green. Yeah, so you see how the first kind of half of the psalm is full of I's? And what do you notice about the U's? Well, this is what the U's are. Okay. Well, can you see the U's are on the second half of the psalm primarily? U's and yours. Can you see what the psalmist is trying to do here in the structure of the psalm? Well, when the psalmist is facing trial and suffering, in order to find comfort, he turns his eyes away from himself and he looks to God. And you can see that in the structure of the psalm. It becomes I and becomes you, right? He turns his eyes away from himself and he looks to God. Now, it's very important to realize that turning your attention to God doesn't always stop the suffering. Okay, prayer doesn't always stop the suffering. However, when you turn your attention to God, you are trusting God to use your suffering to display his power. Now, I have a question for you. Okay, my question is, if you were to choose the most important verse in Psalm 77, which verse do you think it would be? Which verse do you think it would be? Let me give you a few seconds. Okay, let me give you my answer. Well, I think it's actually verse 19. Okay, let me take you to verse 19. Okay, let's take a look. Verse 19 says, "Your path led through the water, through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen." Now, when God took Israel out of Egypt, God could have taken them through any route, right? Saved Israel through any other way. But no, he doesn't do that, does he? God deliberately chose the path towards the Red Sea. And while the armies of Egypt were chasing after Israel, God could have just destroyed the armies, as they were chasing, but God didn't. God deliberately let Egypt keep chasing Israel to the Red Sea. And so God saved Israel not away from the sea, but through the sea. Now, that is the main point that the psalmist was trying to make. After praying and praying and praying with untiring hands, the psalmist realizes that God may not take away his personal suffering, his personal Red Sea experience. And so instead, he learns to trust that God would use his Red Sea experience to display his power, because that's how God usually works. In the same way, God also used the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ to demonstrate his power. It was through the death on the cross, through his death on the cross, not away from the cross, but through the cross, that God powerfully brought salvation to the world. So what about you? Okay, what about you? Are you right now going through a difficult period in your life? Do you also have a Red Sea that God would not remove, but God wants you to go through it? Now, most of you here are still young, I recognize that. So maybe, you haven't experienced this yet, but trust me, they will come. Those days will come. You just have to live long enough in this world to experience suffering firsthand. Well, my encouragement is to keep praying when that happens and trusting God. God may not remove the problem, but through the problem, God may somehow display his power. Now, I don't remember if I shared the story with you, but after I graduated from uni many years ago, I experienced a long period where I didn't have a stable job. I only did 2 or 3 days a week on a graduate hourly wage, which was just barely enough to survive. But during that time, I felt very sad and discouraged because I really wanted a stable full-time job. But for a long time, that didn't come. And that also affected my faith a little bit. However, now just looking back at that experience, it really shaped me. It was through that Red Sea experience that God has shaped my character. God has also taught me patience, and he taught me how to empathize with people who are experiencing the same thing, who struggle within unemployment. And now when I look back, I can see that God has been with me, even though his footprints were not seen at the time. Now, I'm going to conclude today by sharing a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Okay, this is God speaking to the Apostle Paul when Paul was going through personal suffering. Okay, this is what God says. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that in the midst of our suffering, we can cry out to you. Sometimes our suffering can make us feel like you are far away and that you have somehow changed in your character. But thank you for reminding us this evening that you are unchanging and changing in your care and your love for us. The cross of Jesus is proof that you love us and that you will continue to do so. And so we give you thanks for the peace that we enjoy in Jesus, the one who once said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." We pray for those here in this room who may be currently going through a difficult period in their lives, whatever that may be. In your mercy, Father, we pray that you would grant them comfort and that at the right time you would remove from them this thorn in the flesh. But more so, we pray that at this difficult hour, that they may experience your power through their weakness, knowing full well that even through our suffering, we can bring you glory. And Father, we do look forward to the day when Jesus comes back, when there will be no longer any suffering, tears or pain. But until then, please sustain us and keep us steadfast in your love. Amen.